be reading God's Word this morning. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 42 through 47 this morning. In unison, we haven't done that in a while. Let's read this passage in unison. Could we stand out of reverence and respect for God's Word? Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. Let's begin together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Lord, bless the reading of your word, and bless us as we listen to your word. May we receive it with our hearts, the ancient words that you have given to us, and may they change us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. Please be seated. Into the book of Acts here. By the way, there is an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint if you find that helpful to take notes or to make funny pictures of Pastor Tom. Haven't had any of those lately. I collect those, by the way. I have a stack in my drawer in my desk of all the pictures, caricatures of Pastor Tom. It's great. Some of my, I take them out every once in a while and look at them, you know, just to laugh and enjoy. Amen. People are devoted to many things in this life, are they not? You can be devoted to something, and I'm not talking, about a false god that, you might have an idol of it, although there's some people that have that. One time, this is many, many, many years ago, when I worked in the D.C. area for Service Master. It was the first year that Brenda and I got married, and I was preparing to leave to go up to seminary, and so I worked with Service Master. And I went into this one person's home. We were going to clean their carpet and some furniture in their house, and as I stepped into the house, on the table, she had a statue of Buddha. And as well, there were incense sticks lit in Buddha's hands or in his belly or wherever on him. And, basically she was giving homage, so to speak, to Buddha and in a sense asking Buddha, for his blessing, for his protection. It struck me because as I walked into the house, I'd never seen that before. But this is what a Buddhist person does, a person who follows the teachings of Buddha. They have a statue of Buddha. This is part of the reason that in the early Christian church, they were against having any kind of icons, whether it's of Jesus himself or his mother, Mary, Mary and the baby Jesus. And unfortunately, as the institutional church went on in years and became more and more corrupted, those things were brought into the church and other artifacts as well. And, anything that man touches like this begins to corrupt it. But let me remind you, as I'm going to be talking about the church this morning, that although the church is made up of people like you and me, and we are flawed, and we bring our flaws to the church, and yes, the church is flawed. I'll be the first one to admit it, because I'm a part of the church. I remember one person coming in here and said, Pastor, I've been looking for the perfect church. I said, really? I said, well, when you find it, do me a favor. Turn around and leave. Because the moment you get there, it's not perfect anymore. They opened their mouth, and I said, and me neither. None of us are perfect. But let me remind you that it was Jesus that created the church. It wasn't people that created the institutional church. Jesus created the church. We turned it into an institution, unfortunately. But here, as we look at the early believers, and we looked at chapter 2, the first verses last time, we saw how they heard the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost. They saw the miraculous signs and wonders. They saw the tongues of fire. They heard the people speaking in unknown languages that they had never learned before. And many of them gathered. They heard Peter preaching. They heard him preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we saw last time that they were cut to the heart. Verse 37 tells us that the people that had gathered and had heard the message, many of them were cut to the heart, it says. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replies in verse 38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then when you do this, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last time. And when you come to know Jesus, you receive His Spirit who comes to live in you. And the Spirit of God coming into you is what makes all the difference. We talked last week about a life without the Spirit of God within you. And then we talked about a life with the Spirit of God within you. How that life is transformed. How that life is made new. Well, here we see the outcome of the people of God gathering together. Here we see that they make some commitments in the body of Christ. Now that they have become a part of the body of Christ, they make some commitments. And this is where we pick up in verse 42. It says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. Notice with me that it was not the apostles that brought out the big Bibles with the metal edges and started banging on them saying, you have to do this. You better do this. Now, certainly they were teaching them what Jesus had taught. Jesus had taught that I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you will be my church. You will be my called out ones. He said that, yes, the church is my people and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's an offensive position, that we are moving forward. We're not shrinking back. And so the main point of my message this morning is this. Is our discipleship in Jesus, is it translating over to commitment to Jesus Christ? Is it translating over into commitment to Jesus Christ? And specifically, the things I want to talk about this morning, commitment to His Word, commitment to His body, commitment to community in Christ, and commitment to the worship of Christ. That's what we see here. The apostles' teaching, that is His Word, God's Word, fulfilled in Christ. To the fellowship, that community in the body, that belonging in the body. To the breaking of bread, that's the life together, the community of Christ living out life together. And then to prayer, which broadly means the worship of Christ. It means not only His intercession, but also praise and prayer. Praise in the sense of speaking forth to God. Those that had been saved, and we're told in verse 41, at this point, there were over 3,000 added to the church on the day of Pentecost. 3,000. That's a pretty good evangelistic crusade, isn't it? 3,000 people. And they baptized them. I'm not sure how they baptized them all. There's 12 apostles at this point. And somebody do the math on that. How many did each apostle have to baptize? 70? It's about 270 people each. So I don't know exactly how they did it, if they had a mass baptism, you know, but somehow or another, they baptized 3,000 people and they're added to the church. Now that's the human side of it, right? As we've preached about it before, baptism in and of itself doesn't save you. Baptism in and of itself, all it does is get you wet. It's not some magical ritual. I'm sorry if you grew up in a tradition where they said, oh, you have to baptize this baby because if you don't baptize this baby, the baby's going to be lost. Oh, really? I thought Jesus said, don't hinder people, don't hinder these little children to come to me because for such belong the kingdom of God. I thought Jesus said, guys, stop it. Let these little children come to me. And another point, he said, look, you have to convert and become like this little child here. So, again, the institutional church sometimes gets it wrong. They come up with rituals that they think are protecting God and His plan. Someone shared with me, and this is heartbreaking. They had a child out of wedlock. And unfortunately, after a few days, the child died. And they were in the Catholic faith, and they did not have opportunity to have the child baptized, which is what they do in the Catholic faith. And did you know the priest told this mother, grieving mother who just lost her child, that this child was not in heaven? Can you believe this? The gall of a man saying that. I don't care whether you call yourself a priest or a minister or a pastor or the Pope. How dare you pass judgment on anyone? Only God passes judgment. Only God knows the heart, and He tells us in His Word that children belong to Him. That's why, as we look at one of these devotions, one of these priorities, we see that it is His Word that we have to be devoted to. Well, let me ask a question. How did the people that were around these 3,000 new Christians, how did they know that these people were now Jesus' disciples? That somehow they were different. What set them apart? Well, it was their discipleship in the sense that they now belonged to Jesus Christ. How did they show it? They were baptized. Peter, using the authority of Jesus Christ, who said to the apostles, go forth and make disciples of all people, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Peter takes the authority of Jesus and His words, and he says, guys, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you have to be baptized. Stop right there. This is one of the first lessons about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' word. I don't know how many people I've had discussions, debates, arguments with. They don't want to get baptized. And I'll tell them, look, God's word says if you're going to be a Jesus follower, you've got to be baptized. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. If you don't want to get baptized, there's a problem. Well, Pastor, I just really don't want to be in front of people, and I don't want to look like a drowned rat. And I understand. I understand. But the Word says, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you have to be baptized. Let me ask you a question. Is that unclear? Say it again. Is it unclear? Now, if you want to do all kinds of interpretive calisthenics and you know, wrangling back and forth, go ahead. I'm not going to argue with you. You don't want to be baptized, you got an issue. And I just leave it there with you until God works in your heart. Some of you know who I'm talking about. There's several of you rascals out there. You don't want to be baptized. And Pastor Tom, every time we're going to have baptism, I'd say, you want to get baptized this time? Well, Pastor, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to pray about it. Okay. Not a whole lot to pray about. The Word says get baptized. You need to get baptized. This is part of being devoted to the Word. And watch this. As we look at verses 43 through 45, when they were devoted to the Word, the Apostles' teaching, it resulted in the life and the power of God being manifest. How many of us want to see the power of God manifest in our midst, manifested in our body? How many of us would like to see God move in more miraculous ways? More ways of seeing people get saved, people get healed, people set free from addictions, from bondage, people made whole from some of the terrible trauma that they've had in their past. And we know many have had terrible trauma in their past. Well, I think part of the reason that we don't see it is because we are not obedient to God's Word. We obey half-heartedly. It's a struggle for some of us to get here on Sunday. And some people have said it to me very forthright, very frankly. Pastor, I don't really like all the singing, so, you know, I come later after the singing so I can hear the sermon. Now, you notice I'm not looking at anybody. Okay? I didn't have anybody in mind. In fact, I didn't even plan to say this. So if the Holy Spirit stomps on your toes, blame Him, not me. That's ridiculous. You're going to see here in just a minute that being devoted to the body of Christ means that we are together in the life of the church. When I was growing up in the United Methodist Church, they had hymns during the service. And I got to be honest, as a young person, I didn't really like a lot of those hymns. Some of them were hard to sing and they didn't make any sense. I was teasing with Brenda yesterday, and I said, for our hymn tomorrow, why don't we I'll pick that song, and it says, "Now I Raise My Ebenezer." And she looked at me and she chuckled. I said, "That's talking about Ebenezer Scrooge, right?" And she looked at me, she goes, "No, it doesn't." I said, "Do you think most people know what that is? We sometimes sing hymns that we don't even know what they're talking about." That's part of the reason that we bring explanation to you. But as a young person, I didn't really care for those. But you know what? I went to church anyway. I sang those hymns anyway. Most of the reason is because my parents made me go to church. And that was a good thing. Parents, make your kids come to church. Don't let them sleep in. Get them up in the morning. I know some of you kids out there, I call you kids. Well, I'm going to be 57, so I can call you kids. I talked to one parent, said, "Well, I just can't get my son to wake up and come to church." I said, "Let me ask you something. They wake up and go to school? You got an alarm for school? They get up?" "Yeah." I said, "Tell them to set their alarm and get up out of bed. And if they don't get up out of bed, they're grounded. So see how fast they come to church. Or take away whatever it is you need to take away from them. Xbox, phone, iPad, whatever. Hit them where it hurts." Now, as we look at these early believers, and it says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. What does that mean? Let's look at that word. That word devoted means to be steadfastly attentive to it, to adhere to the word. They were radically committed to the word, to the apostles' teaching. So number one, you and I must be committed to the apostles' teaching, God's Word, His Word. This is the teaching of God's Word fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, I've preached on this before. You might be saying, "Pastor, I remember hearing you preach about this." You know what? We need to hear it again. Because some of us are not yet devoted to God's Word. We're not yet devoted to the teaching of God's Word, especially that which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes. We're going to see in chapter 3 how Peter, he connects the dots from all the way back to Abraham. How Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption beginning all the way back with Abraham. And now through Christ, Christ is the anointed and chosen Messiah and the Davidic king that they were looking for. And so in Jesus Christ, we have the fulfillment. Now, I want to give you just a little taste of Peter's preaching in this passage here. Verse 29 through 33. Verse 29 through through 33, and Judy Vilwalk is going to read that for us. Mr. Bruce is going to read that for us.
Thanks. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he has a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has risen this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear.
So Peter is helping them to understand what they are seeing and what they are hearing, this miraculous event that has taken place. He says, God has poured out his Spirit, and this is what you now hear and see happening with these disciples. You know, some of them had said, oh, these guys are drunk. They've had too much sweet wine. And they were making fun of them. They were mocking them. And Peter says, oh no, this is what the Holy Spirit has brought forth as he's been poured out on the people. And this is the gospel preaching that we see from Peter. It's here in chapter 2, it's in chapter 3, it's in chapter 4. And then later on, we see Stephen preaching it as one of the deacons. Later on, we see Paul preaching it, Barnabas preaching it. Over and over and over again, they're preaching the word of Christ. Why? How? It's because they were devoted to it. They had lived, those that were disciples of Jesus had lived with him for 3 years, approximately 3 years. They lived with him, and watch this, they had eaten the word. They had eaten the word. The word was their diet, their spiritual food. Why do I use that phrase? I'm trying to help us to understand the need for us to be devoted to the word. I've used this illustration before. When you get up in the morning, at some point in the day, because I know some of you don't eat breakfast, but at some point in the day, you eat some food. Because you get what? Famished. Some people are famished right now. There's the best time where you get done already, so I can go eat. I didn't have any breakfast this morning. So I'm looking forward to whatever we have for lunch. But you need physical food to have energy. I was talking the other day with Brother Teddy, who got baptized here a few weeks ago. We were talking about fasting. And I said, you know, it's amazing how after you fast for a couple of days, all of a sudden you don't get hungry anymore. After you get past the first day into the second day, all of a sudden, your body, it's like changes. The switch goes off. And you're not hungry anymore. Now, you do feel very weak. As time goes on, you feel very weak. And you have to rest. You know? It's the same thing with spiritual food. You and I are going to be weak spiritually, emaciated spiritually, if we don't eat the word. We have to eat the word on a daily basis. Just like you need physical food on a daily basis, so we need spiritual food on a daily basis. The prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 15, verse 16, he says this, your words came to me, O Lord, and I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Your words came, and I ate them. Isn't that interesting? What is he saying? Your words came, and I got them into me. You see, I didn't just read my two-sentence devotion for the day, and then close the book, and off I go. Oh, no. He read the word over and meditated on it. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What is the truth of what you're saying here, Lord, in this word? How does it apply to me, Lord? What are you calling me to do? How do I need to obey you? What do I need to give up? What do I need to lay down in my life, Lord, as you speak to me? Lord, what are you saying about Jesus? Oh, I've heard all about Jesus, Pastor. I've been in church since I was a baby. I know all about Jesus. Do you? Do you? You see, I think part of the problem is we're not fascinated with the Son of God. We're fascinated with many other things in this world, but we're not fascinated with the Son of God. We're not fascinated with how is it possible that all the fullness could dwell in Christ bodily. How is that possible? That blows your mind. How could this man be fully God and fully man? How could the Son of God have been with God before the creation of the world? How could this be? As you read the Word, do you allow it to grasp you, to shake you? If you're reading the Word and you think you understand everything about it, I'm sorry, you've missed something. Because there are depths to the Word of God that you and I have never seen, and God is waiting for you and for me to mine the depths for the gems and the diamonds of the Word of God. The people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. How do we know? Well, they gathered every day in the temple and in their homes to hear the Word of God. They gathered to hear the Word. Guess what? They didn't have one of these. They didn't own one of these. The Bible that they had was on a scroll, and it was in the temple, but also in the other areas, it was in the synagogue. Not everybody had their portable roll of the Scripture. And so, number one, they had to hear the Word being spoken at the synagogue or at the temple, and they had to memorize it. They had to eat the Word. Let me ask you a question. Do you eat the Word? Are you devoted to the Word and eating it every day? If you're not, I can tell you something right now. If you're not eating the Word, then you are spiritually emaciated. You are spiritually weak. And sometimes we wonder, man, you know, why do I give in to sin so easily? Why do I give in to my flesh so easily? It's like it just happens so easy. Why? It's because you're not getting the Word into your spirit man so that your spirit man is strengthened and you are able to overcome your flesh. You see, Jesus said, my teaching, John chapter 6, my teaching is real food. My words are real food. You and I have to eat them. Eat the Word. Here's some things that Jesus said about His Word. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. Here's what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Why is it that we so often neglect the words that are never going to pass away, the words that are true, eternal, in the heavens and in the earth? Why do we neglect it? Now, I like to read novels. I enjoy it. You know, I especially love some of the novel series that are coming out, that have come out, rather. Ted Decker's series. I think it's Black, Red, Green, White, Yellow, or something like that. It's a series about, it's about the gospel. But it's set in novel form. I enjoy reading that, you know. And it's the kind of book that will capture you and you're reading it. Oh, you know, you're eating it. And that's good. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that as something recreational. And there's times I enjoy watching some of the shows on TV. Somebody was asking me last night about a particular show. I said, nah, I don't watch that. Then they asked me about another particular show. I said, nah, I don't watch that. And later on, they brought up another one. They said, well, what about them? I said, no, I don't watch that. They just said, man, you don't watch much TV. I said, no, I don't. Why would I fill my brain with that trash that's on TV? Why would I do that? That's going to make you spiritually weak. You know, they got all these different reality shows and Dancing with the Stars and, you know, Dancing with a Broken Leg and Broken Toe and Survivor on an Island. I mean, you know, these things are fine. But I'm telling you, they appeal to the flesh. Listen, I turned that on one night, Dancing with the Stars. That came on, and I took one look at the way that woman was dressed, and I said, nope, off. I don't need to be looking at that. Okay? Maybe you're much more spiritual. You are much more spiritual than me, and you can watch it. But I'm not watching that. You and I need to decide what we're going to eat. Are you going to eat the Word? Are you going to be devoted to the Word? So that it gets down into your spirit. Here's another word that Jesus said. John chapter 17, verse 17. Father, sanctify your disciples by the truth. Your Word is truth. Your Word is truth. So we have the truth before us. We have the truth that has been revealed to us in the Word. Do we eat it? Do you eat it? How is our spiritual diet? What are we eating? Here's another one from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. Peter picks up on this. He quotes that from Isaiah 40, verse 8. And then he adds this in 1 Peter 1, 24 through 25. He says, and this is the Word that was preached to you. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. You see what Peter's doing? He's connecting all of the Old Testament and all of Jesus' teachings and all of the epistles. And he's saying this fulfillment through Jesus Christ is what was preached to you. I often tease about this. Sometimes I'll ask somebody midweek. I'll say, hey, what did I preach about Sunday? And they'll be like, something about the Word. I hope it's about the Word. Someone said to me, I asked that question of them, and they said, can you give me a hint? I was like, that's kind of pointless, isn't it? You know, but I understand. Sometimes I forget what I preached about on a past Sunday. But are you taking the Word that I preached? I mean, I give you this outline, and I tease about it, about writing, you know, drawing pictures on there. But do you take this home? And whether you filled it out or not, do you look up some of the Scriptures? And I mean, I spend hours and hours and hours before the Lord and in the Word to put together a message that I hope will challenge and encourage and bless you. You know, do you do anything more than take the outline and say, oh, that was good. Another good sermon. Or you take it home and you say, Lord, you were really speaking to me this morning. You were speaking to me this morning. And you wrote down something that the Lord was speaking to you, and you picked it back up again and you looked at it. And somewhere, you have some time in between the using of the TV remote and going to the refrigerator for food or the cupboard for snacks. Somewhere in between all that, you have some time to look at God's Word more than just 25, 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. Are you eating the Word? Or is your spiritual diet made up of junk food? We have to eat the Word. What does this mean, to eat the Word? It means not only do I get the Word into me, but I embrace it as true. I embrace it as truth, and I'm submitted to the authority of God's Word. This is a big point. This is a big point. I'm submitted to the authority of God's Word. The gospel and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? I hear this phrase so often as I'm in discussions. I'm around a lot of young people. You know, we have a lot of young people that come to our house. You know, friends of my son, and sometimes kids in the neighborhood. And here's one of the things I hear all the time. And whatever the topic may be, whatever the topic, the issue, whether it's something political, something of the day, something cultural, it's like, well, I think, and then they rattle off their opinion. I rarely hear. Did I say that I rarely hear? God's word says, thus and so. And I believe it. And that settles it. Well, I think, well, I've heard, well, I read it on the internet, so it's got to be true. I saw it on Facebook. I got an Instagram, so it's got to be true. So I think, and we spout off our opinion. I challenge you this week. This is one of my first challenges out of this message. I challenge you, as you eat the word, let it overcome your opinions. Oh, we are full of opinions, are we not? I am too. Hey, I'm just as full of opinions as you are. But let God's word overcome your opinions. And here's the challenge. If you don't know God's word about a particular subject, a particular topic, whether it's spiritual or political or cultural, how about doing this? How about be silent and then go to God's word and see what God's word says about it? I mean, this whole big thing today about gun control. Oh my gosh, the opinions that are flying, bouncing off the walls, and I think that, and I think this, and, you know, everybody and their brother has an opinion on Facebook, and it's like, okay, not one person has posted something about what God's Word says about it. Not one person. How about we go to God's Word and find out what it says, and let it inform and educate us in our opinions? How about we begin to eat the Word and then submit ourselves to the authority of God's Word? If it is true, then for me to embrace it, to be devoted to His Word, means that I submit myself to the truth of God's Word. We live in a country that is descending into lawlessness. I did see one post here recently that really struck me. Somebody posted, God, look at all these terrible things that are happening in our schools. God, the shooting that was down in Florida recently, you know, the shooting in the school. God, why didn't you do something about it? Why didn't you stop it? And God says at the bottom, I'm not allowed in school. We've kicked them out. We've kicked them out. We said, God, we don't want you in our schools. We don't want anything about you in our schools. We're not going to have the Ten Commandments. We're not going to have anything. We're going to work as well to get the pledge out of the school because it has one nation under God in it. We're going to get that out of here too. Any vestige that has to do with God, we're getting it out of our schools. We're getting it out of our political arena. We don't want you to have Bible studies at the Capitol. We don't want you praying in the Capitol. We don't want you praying with our politicians. And then we wonder why our country is in the mess that it is. We wonder why kids in middle school are bringing guns to school. We wonder. Is there any wonder? When you tell God, hey God, there's the door. Get out and stay out. We are on a nation that is on the edge of chaos, lawlessness. And there's some states that are proud to stand up. Heard a politician this week, proud to stand up and said that she was not going to uphold federal laws. How dare you? You took an oath to uphold the law of the land. Now, if you don't like a law, work to change it. Okay? There's a political process. There's a process to do that. You know, I'll probably be against you. I'll probably vote against you. I'll probably speak against you. I'll probably vote that law down. But, hey, have at it. But how dare you violate the law of the land and then be proud of it? So I embrace the Word because it is the source of authority. I live the Word. I eat the Word. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I hear so many people that say, you know, Pastor, I don't have any direction in my life. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Okay. How about going to the Lord in His Word and asking Him for some direction? Oh, well, I did that. I did that last year. I spent about 5 minutes asking the Lord, and He never said anything, so I moved on. You wouldn't say that to me, but that's what happened, didn't it? That's what happened. I spent about 5 minutes in the Word, and then I fell asleep. I had somebody say to me, "Oh, Pastor, every time I read the Word, I fall asleep." Well, you don't have to take that sleeping aid anymore. You don't have to take that melatonin anymore. Just start reading your Bible and you fall asleep. Man, run around the block and then read the Word. And if you start getting sleepy, run around the block again, read the Word. Am I submitted to the authority of God's Word? Am I submitting my opinions to God's Word? Number two, and we'll have to end with that today. I'll have to make this a series. Number two, we have to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. As disciples, we're to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said at the beginning, you've got to come to Christ. You've got to submit your life to Him. I preached on this last week, the week before that. You've got to be baptized. You've got to enter into the body. You've got to identify as part of the body. And number two, you then have to be committed to His Word. And then you have to be committed to the fellowship of the body. It's difficult in that we only see each other once or twice a week. It's very difficult. Let's just be honest. It's very difficult to have fellowship when we only see each other once or twice a week. Many of the men and women come out on Tuesday night for Bible study, and we spend a couple hours together, and that's great. And some folks come out for the extracurricular activities, youth group, college and career group, and that's great. But what we see here in the Word is that they are sharing their life together. Why? It's because they know this. You belong to me. I belong to you. We belong to one another in the body of Christ. We belong to one another. Now, I know many of you have gotten burned in some churches. I understand that. And I'm sorry for that. But that's not what the church is supposed to be. That's why I'm thankful for the way that Island Alliance Church is set up as part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We don't have just one head honcho that calls all the shots, and this is the way it is, and it's my way or the highway. It's not like that here. We have elders that are elected by you. You choose the elders that are to represent you in this body of Christ. And together, those elders and I seek God together for the direction He has for this church. And guess what? If I get out of line, one of my brothers will come to me. And if I don't have a teachable spirit, they'll call me on it. They'll say, "Pastor, you're not having a teachable spirit right now." That's the way it happens here in this church. And you don't even have to be an elder to do that. Other people have come to me and said, "Pastor, it seems like you said something in your sermon that might have been a little bit off. I'm concerned about it." And I'll say, "Okay, let's look at this. Let's see what I said." Because half the time I don't know what I'm saying up here. Sometimes I go back and listen to my sermons. I say, "Oh, I groan." I'm like, "Man, you better stay on target here." The people of God knew that they had a new identity and a new belonging. And you see, fellowship is more than two fellows in a ship. Okay? Fellowship is that bond that we have in Christ. And the word fellowship, koinonia, means this. It means that we are participating. We have a partnership. We have a communion. It's that spiritual oneness and belonging that we have, and it's given to us. Watch this. It's not given to you by the church, it's given to you by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and the Spirit of God lives in me, we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. And that's why we challenge everybody here. Look, you got a problem with somebody? Get it straight. Get it straight. Don't leave We've had lots and lots of people come and go at Island Church, and that's unfortunate. Why should we do that? Why not get it straight together? Because listen, if you got an issue and you leave, guess what? You're going somewhere else with the same issue. It's not going anywhere until you deal with it. I've had other pastors call me and say, PC, we, you know, such person said they used to be at your church and they're here now and it seems like they have this issue. I said, yeah, same issue they had here. They brought it with them. So deal with your issues. Because the fellowship that we have in Christ, watch this, is precious. It's precious. You're my brother. You're my sister. You belong to me, and I belong to you. The Spirit of God makes us one in the body of Christ. And therefore, the early believers were together. In fact, it says, at that time, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Why? It's because they absolutely had to. In order to survive, in order to make it, they needed to help one another. Sometimes folks here in the church, you know, get into a financial bind or some kind of a need, like, oh, you know, I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know. What? I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I'm here to help you. We're here to help one another. Get rid of that pride thing. Get past it, because we all need help now and then. I remember a time when we were living down in Wilmington, North Carolina. I had gone to Lowe's. This is when I was working in construction. I'd gone to Lowe's, and I went on inside the store, and like an idiot, I left my truck unlocked. When I came back out to my truck, all my tools were gone. Everything. They cleaned it out. They had cleaned out. I had like two big toolboxes. I had power saws, power equipment. It was all gone. I got in my truck and I sat in there and I'm like, what the heck? And I realized I had left my truck unlocked and it was all gone. And that was my livelihood. That's how I was working and earning a living. That was on a Wednesday. And Wednesday evening, we had church service. And I was kind of down. I'll be honest with you. I was like, Lord, you know, I came down here trying to make a living and all my tools are gone. You know what the Lord said to me? Lock your door, you idiot. Lock your car doors. Well, I just trust in God to take care of me. You know what? You're going to have all your tools, all your belongings stolen too. Because there's a lot of people that aren't listening to God. And they're going to steal your stuff. Can I get an amen on that? Don't be foolish. Don't be spiritually foolish. Lock your doors. Lock your doors at night. That's another sermon. So we went to church service. And I got to be honest, I was kind of down. I was kind of down. And the pastor there at the time, he saw, he noticed, and he came up to me and he said, Tom, what's wrong? I said, wow, I've had a rough day. And I shared with him what had happened. You know what? During the service, he shared that with the congregation and they took up an offering. They took up an offering. Now, you know what? I hated it on the one hand, but it also blessed me. It made up for what I did. I didn't have extra money to go out and buy tools. And the offering they gave, there was over $800 that came in for me to buy not only nice tools, but brand new and better tools than what I had. And I said to the pastor, I said, this is too much. He said, well, this is God's blessing. He said, stop holding up your pride. Take it and enjoy it and be blessed of God. Amen? And I locked my doors. You see, we have to get past this in the body. The world out there, I understand. You open up to those around you in the world out there and they take advantage of you. They use you and abuse you. You know, they turn it against you. I understand that. That doesn't happen. It better not happen here in the church. If it does, you need to come to us and let us know so that we can correct it. We're here for each other. Why? Because we belong to one another. We understand that God, through the Spirit, is making a new family. He's created a new family. We're going to close with the scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And Bruce Gordon's going to read it. Judy's going to read it. Guys are switching.
Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Verse 22, and in him, you, that is plural. It's not singular. You, plural. You too, you Ephesian believers. And translated today, you too, Island Alliance believers, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Yes, He lives in us individually by the Spirit of God, but He also lives in us corporately. Corporately, because we belong to one another. That's why when we come together, there's a special feeling, there's a special presence of the Spirit of God, who ministers to us, who the Spirit of God knows exactly what we need. So as I close the message, let me challenge you again. Are you devoted to the Word? And if not, I challenge you to be devoted, to eat the Word daily, and let the Word change you. Let it become your authority in your life. Let it change your opinion. Let it change your views. Let it transform your mind, as it says it will do. Romans 12, 1 and 2. By the mercies of God, therefore, I urge you to offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Let God's Word transform and renew your mind. And then, let it continue to develop that commitment, that devotion to one another. Spend time together with each other. I'm perplexed sometimes. I'm perplexed. We'll have an event, and we get, 15, 20 people that show up. Really? We have a missionary out, and we get 20 or 30 people that come out. Really? Is it that unimportant? Do you have so much that's so important in your schedule that you can't take time to come out and be together in the body of Christ and support the work that God is doing worldwide? It's perplexing. It's discouraging. I'm just going to be honest with you. As part of the leadership, I speak on behalf of the leadership. When you don't participate in the body, it's discouraging. It's discouraging. We have some events coming up, and I challenge you, take part in the body of Christ. Well, Pastor, I don't really like people. Whew. Okay. Let God change you so that you can tolerate us here at Island Alliance Church. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for ministering to us by your word. Father, thank you that your word is truth. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but your word will never pass away. Lord, may your word become something that fulfills that spiritual hunger in our lives. Lord, help us to be creative. Whether we listen to it on CD or MP3, going along driving or exercising or whatever it may be, get your word into our lives, Lord, down into our spirit. Lord, let us eat your word. And then, Lord, let us be devoted. Challenge us, Lord, to be devoted to this body, to one another, and beyond this body, other believers in Jesus Christ, Lord. We belong to one another. Lord, let us take delight in the body that you are building. We're going to spend eternity together. Lord, let us truly get to know one another and enjoy each other in the bond of fellowship that we have in the Spirit. Lord, I ask that you take these words, let them go down deep in our hearts. Let us be not only hearers of the Word, but let us be doers of the Word as well. I pray this over each one of us today. I ask, Lord, that as you're speaking to your people, that they would make commitments. They would make new commitments and new surrenders, Lord. Right now in this quiet time, maybe the Lord is challenging you, has challenged you. You need to make a new commitment about getting into His Word and being committed to the belonging of the body. I urge you right now, respond to God. Say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be devoted to your Word. I'm going to be devoted to your body. Because this is what you call us to. Lord, have your way in our lives. Speak to us and move us to the point of commitment. Thank you for this time. I pray a blessing over your people. May we come away feeling filled and rich with your Word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. If you need prayer, we invite you to come at the close of the service. First time folks, love to meet you out in the lobby. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day. Walk with Jesus. Amen.